Hello, everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, sag a thing you do, put on the kettle, make a little brew, that'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheer yourself up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo.
Good evening, one and all. Finally, 27th of November, we got almost a little bit of winter weather where I am here in Connecticut. We actually had a bit of frost this morning on the cars. A little bit of frost. And of course, because of that, after all the dry stuff we've had, there was accidents all over the place. But then the last year, there's always been accidents all over the place. I've never known so many car and motorbike accidents, you know, anywhere, let alone just here in America. But it is what it is, isn't it? Anyway, when you growing up, we all sort of have those days, don't we? We all have the days or the periods, depression, you know, struggles with all sorts of things. We know people who are struggling with types of mental illness or whatever it is. We struggle. And you don't know what to do. You don't know how to help people. You don't know what to do for yourself. Well, my guest today, he's been there, done it, got through it, got the t-shirt and come out the other side. And he's written a book about this, which is one of these books I'm sure is going to help a huge amount of people. Huge amount, I'm telling you. Because, you know, this day and age, there is a lot of people with issues. There's a lot of people having this sort of thing. Well, my guest today is a husband, a father, a grandfather, a real estate developer in Ontario, so you know he's in Canada. Well, even I know that. And for the last 15 years, he's actually lived without these demons that ruined his life. The depression, the anxiety, the addiction, the suicidal thoughts that people have. He's got through it, as I said, and he's come out the other side. And now he is sharing his path through this quagmire in his debut book. Well, I better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only, I can only say one word, Lemmy. Hi, how are you doing? It's a pleasure, because see, I'm always used to sort of saying so and so and so and so. Of course, you've just got the one word, and I was stumped for a moment. Surely I've missed something somewhere, it's something, you know, but Levy it is, as we said, not Levy, Levy, but get it right. It's good to have you on the show, and the fact that you've managed to get through this, I mean, were these anxieties and this life stuff, was this from an early age? When did you sort of really start suffering from all this?
Actually,
all right. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I can understand that, because I can remember around about, actually that's about my time my first marriage, so yes, I can. But no, I mean the pressure that's on you in those younger years, you know, the 20s especially, because you know you're expected to sort of become this person, you're expected to do this, you've got all of the other bits of life going on, you've got, you know, everything, work and stuff like that. It is very hard to fight against such things. I mean, did you sort of gradually sort of slip under or suddenly, or how did you realize, well, I don't suppose you did realize what was going on to start with?
It's funny, because like I didn't have very many issues at all up until age 27. I was successful, I was very well at an insurance company, I was in middle management at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had two children at that time,
3 years of age. And then my father-in-law had a heart attack and just died right in front of my wife, which would be his father,
right,
at age 57. And I would call myself a weekend alcoholic.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, as every 20-year-old would do, go and party and stuff. Yeah. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
And over that time, we would fight the odd time, but nothing to say, hey, get to AA or I'm leaving you or any of that.
Mm-hmm.
But when when my father-in-law had the heart attack and passed away, immediately after that, she says, I want a divorce. And I just didn't see it coming. I was in a separation for about 3 days before that. She asked for a temporary separation,
mm-hmm.
and I just granted it to her. And then she decided she wanted to be a lesbian. So that caught me off guard.
Yeah, that's a shock, right, yeah.
Oh, well, it really was for myself. And next thing you know, I'm being served with divorce papers. And the hatred and the disdain that she had for me was just unbelievable. And then she took my children away, which were eye.
Oh.
Yeah, and I just wanted to commit suicide, and I started going down a bad path.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next 10 years, it was very, very bad. And then one night, a jail stint because of drinking. I ended up being a full-time alcoholic after mm-hmm. 10 years, drinking every day, losing some jobs. Just bouncing from job to job. My life is just going downhill.
Did anybody's sort of family or anything realize this? Did anybody try and help you? Were you past being helped?
I don't know if I was past being helped. I would just, I don't know. I hit it pretty good, to be honest with you, Barry.
Yep.
Yep. I hit it pretty good. They knew there were some issues, but they always knew there were maybe a bit of drinking issues, but not even to the extent that I had it. And then when I did become an alcoholic full time, then like I said, I had a little one night jail stint for drinking,
mm-hmm.
and I had an intervention with my family at that time. That when I got out the next day, and I remember going to the bar and saying, you know, forget this. And but it wasn't long. It was 3 days later. I was crying, calling my dad, and he took me to the hospital. And that started the ball rolling for me that, you know, I've got to get out of this.
Right.
Like, and the funny thing is, though, Barry, too, that when I wanted to commit suicide, I had it all planned out. And two or three days before I was going to do it, my friend committed suicide. and he had left a 12-year-old boy who I knew from birth.
Oh.
And he came back into my life, so I decided to help him through his life.
Right.
For the next 6 months, I put my life on hold. And then he moved away. About 6 months later, he moved away, and we lost touch again. And then my life just carried on, and, you know, like I said, the next 10 years.
So you had something to start you back, and then that blanket, if you like, fell through, and you were worse than ever, I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess I just, you know, just I felt good trying to help the boy. And it's just one of those things that just, you know, kept going, snowballing. And then I remember going to counseling with a psychiatrist. And after like a 10-year period plus, I remember him sitting there. And I was on heavy medication
right.
for all of this stuff. Nothing was helping. And I remember we got to a point in our session. He said, listen, Levy, we come to a point where you're going to have to accept that you're going to have probably depression, some form of depression, for probably the rest of your life. You're going to have ups and lows, but we can adjust the medications. I can show you coping mechanisms and techniques and methods. And I remember looking at him, and I said this in my head. I didn't say this to him, but I said, like hell I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
Like, if this is the way it's going to be, I'm just going to cash out right now because I'm not going to deal with this for the rest
of
my life.
Right.
And that started my search for the next, another decades plus, trying to heal myself and trying to figure out what I could do.
Right. So what, I mean, you know, it took a while to do it. What sort of led you down the right path?
I guess it was just some situations that happened. I'm a Christian, and you know, if I'm not trying to judge anybody or anything. You know, the people can believe what they want to believe. Mm-hmm. I believed in God, and I still do, obviously. And I remember praying to him one day, and things were starting to change a bit, because I basically gave up control of my life and said, you know what, you start taking the lead on this, and I'm just going to accept whatever comes my way. And very shortly after that, I really realized things are happening to me. Things are going my way. Then I realized, okay, there's more to this. And so then I started looking inside myself, and then I realized, okay, the problems aren't outside. And I was blaming my ex-wife. I was blaming everybody under the sun.
But yourself, Yep,
and I was taking almost zero responsibility for my life. My life's crap because my ex left me because she's a lesbian, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I drink because of my ex-wife. Mm-hmm. But then I realized, no, I have to start taking 100% responsibility. And I went to detox and a group, so I quit drinking. I've quit drinking, so I started looking into myself, my soul, and I haven't looked back. And that's why I wrote the book, Soul Setting.
Right. Soul Setting, listen to your soul instead of your mind, which I think is
correct.
Great. Now, one of the things you go on about is the difference between goal setting and soul setting.
Right.
Explain that, can you?
Well, goal setting is a bit, you're looking at the end result. Like, and I'll use weight loss as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking at losing 50 pounds in the next, say, 6 months to a year, whatever, you're looking at the end of it. And to me, goal setting and mind setting, both are very limited. But with goal setting, when you're looking at the end of it, chances are you're not going to enjoy the journey of getting to that goal, and you'll end up quitting. Versus having a higher chance of enjoying what you're actually doing to get to your goal.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not against or poo-pooing anyone for goal setting or mind setting, but with mind setting, like Albert Einstein, you know, he had a quote that he said, "We cannot create a solution to a problem in the same manner it was created."
Right.
So how was depression created? Well, it was created through your mind.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yep.
And 90% of our lives is lived in our mind.
Yep.
So that's why I think mind setting and goal setting are defeating ways for myself anyways. And I think for a lot of people, if they change their perspective and kind of have a more of a expanded perspective, then instead of their narrow perspective, they could go a lot further,
but
I think.
That's why people struggle, isn't it? Because of their perspective. Because, Is it sort of like the information they got or what have you? But they view things differently, perhaps not with clarity that they should do.
That's correct, Barry. But again, it's not their fault. It's the way they've been programmed as a child.
Yep.
You know, as humans, our soul comes and incarnated into our body, and we're here with three basic primal flaws, which are inadequacy, insecurity, and scarcity. And then those are being built up through our ego, and our ego feeds our mind. You're not good enough, you're unworthy, or any of those type of things. And then you base your belief and your perspective on the experiences that you have in your life, the environment, perhaps the beliefs and morals that your parents or grandparents have taught you. And so you have a perspective based on their beliefs and their morals and values.
Exactly. Yeah, it's inbred, if you will.
Correct.
Yeah, and that's the path you've been told is the right path. And that's the path you've got to do, and you're not looking at yourself. You're looking at history. You know, what history
that's
has
right.
told you. Yes.
That's right. And the reason why people struggle so often, because I know the reason I struggle, and you just take a look at your own life. We try to control our outside environments. Someone said something that you didn't like. Someone did something that you didn't like. So then you don't accept it, and you start, you know, getting angry or fearful or whatever you do, versus, you know, accepting life as it comes. So now I start accepting things as it comes. As a matter of fact, Barry, today I was backing up in my father and mother's backyard, and I nailed their carport with my truck.
Whoops!
And I got a smashed up back taillight right now.
Oh God!
I used to get so mad at it. But now I don't get mad. You know, I'm not perfect. I still get mad at certain situations. But at that thing today, I didn't even get mad. I just thought, oh, you're kidding me. Yep. I haven't had a good week anyways. Right. But that was just, you know, another. But I didn't. I accepted
it. There's nothing
exactly. I can do.
Acceptance is, I mean, is that the start of your journey, being able to accept and sort of shift the patterns that you've followed up to that point? How do you do to start on your journey?
Start taking responsibility. I started breathing. Just
right.
Breathe and start taking responsibility and start to love yourself and accept what's gone on in your past. You have no control.
Yeah.
What's going to happen in your future, you have no control. To a certain degree, you don't have control. But today and at this second, you have control. So live in the present and live in the now. So I have a thing where I try to have no preference for any outcome. Good or bad, it's gonna happen. The outcome will happen. So such as, you know, getting a house, getting a car, getting a job. If I get that job, great. If I don't, that's fine as well. Well, as humans, you know, we really want to get that job because we're going to make more money. What can we do with that money? We can buy a bigger house or a car or what, you know, and versus if I don't get the job, that's okay. The universe or God or the creator or whoever is looking after my best interest every single time. It may not feel like that at the time, but as you go, you'll realize it is. The divorce that my wife left me was probably the best thing that's ever happened to me. I've married another woman after many years of being single, and we celebrated our 10th anniversary actually yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And
congratulations.
Thank you. Things are just really good. You know, I haven't had a drink in 20 years, any suicidal thoughts in 20 years, depression, medication, anxiety. And in the course of the last 3 or 4 years with this pandemic, there's a lot of things that I've had a lot of issues with, but I've never come close to, you know, depression or anything.
And I think that's something, actually, especially in America, I think it's like 80% of antidepressant tablets are distributed in America worldwide or something like that. It's a heck of a large thing, but it is people worry. People are more worried and more concerned. And there are a lot of things we have no control over stuff. I say to people say, oh, you know, about you're scared of dying. And you have no control over that. You could be sitting outside a cafe or something, and a truck comes up and jackknifes and wipes the tables out. What control
That's
do you
right.
have? I mean, you look back. I was talking. I think it was yesterday. Actually, we're talking about. How life is guided. I mean, number of times, I don't know about you, but a number of times I can say, I go home this way normally, and I decided to go down this other way, and then I hear that there was an accident down the way I was going to go. Yeah, we don't know why we changed it. We don't know what guides us to do this. We have no say in a lot of things. There was somebody I had about 3 years ago on the program, and their book was quite weird, but when you think about it, it could be possible. They had that our lives were basically being a game being played in the future, like Sim City, by people in the future, and that we were the pieces in their game.
Because exactly,
because
time is an illusion.
Yes,
time doesn't exist.
Exactly.
Like I would love to go back to last Saturday's party.
Yeah.
I had a great time there.
Yeah.
But you can't.
Yep.
You know. So yep.
I mean, number of times, you know, you think, well, what if? How many what ifs are there? You know, what if I hadn't have said this? What if I hadn't have done that? What? You have no say. Yeah, you do it.
Nope.
You know,
yep.
somebody perhaps leads you, a guardian angel, a spirit, you know, what have you. You get these things, but you don't have a say. You know, it's you do this, and you don't know why you do it.
That's right.
I mean, and the same with what you went through it. You've come out the other side. I bet you're still learning. I bet you're still, every day is almost a challenge to you. Even though you control things a bit more, there's still the what ifs.
Well, I actually don't have what ifs anymore.
Oh, right.
Because I don't.
Good.
I really don't care what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I work hard. I work towards goals that I have. If I get them, I get them. If I don't, I'm enjoying what I'm doing today. Because, again, that semi might come and take me out in that patio, like you said.
Yeah.
So I just keep moving. I do live my life with intentionality, because if something upsets me, my soul setting kicks in and I say, okay, why am I being triggered? Why am I getting upset? And I'm going to tell you something. If you think about it, 10 out of 10 times with myself, and I don't know about you, but when I get upset with people, it's what they've said or what they've done, I'm trying to control it.
Yes.
So they shouldn't have said that. They shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But the point is they did what they did and they said what they said.
Yeah.
And that's, there's nothing I can do about it. And again, it's about control. So I let it go through my body and I let it go out, because it doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's it. Number of times we get more upset with other people than we do with ourselves, as you said.
That's right.
I mean, it's what do they say? When you're pointing your finger at somebody, there's four fingers pointing back at you.
Exactly.
It's acceptance, I believe, is a huge thing.
It is. It's massive.
Yeah.
You have two ways to live in life. If you resist life, you will constantly struggle. If you accept life, you'll be more at peace.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying, when I say accept, don't get me wrong, Barry. When I say accept, I'm not saying being a doormat.
Yeah.
Okay? But I'm accepting things that I can't control.
That's the thing. Too many people try and control things that they can't control. And
yep.
That's a big thing that people cannot, they can't let things go.
Nope. And when you don't let things go, then now you're under stress, and then you're going to have cortisone running through your body.
Yep.
And then illness, it affects you physically. Like I've studied a lot about and researched a lot about cortisone and stress, and I really believe that that's where the cancers come from.
Mm-hmm.
Heart attacks, strokes, all of these diabetes, all these autoimmune diseases is due to stress.
Yep.
And it's self-induced. It's self-induced.
Yes.
And yet we take zero responsibility and we keep blaming other people, the government, your parents, the way you were brought up, or whatever your circumstances are.
Totally agree with you. I've been through the similar sort of thing myself in the past.
Yep.
With various things, and it's only now I'm sort of, you know, past retirement age and looking back on things and think, you know, why? You know, I had no control over that. Why did I get upset with this? Why did I get upset with that? Why, you know, I can't help that, you know, with an illness of one of my family or stuff like that. I can't, I can get angry, you know, like, you know, people, you know, shake their fist at God and stuff like that. I can get angry that it's, but it's not anger, it's more helplessness.
Correct.
And being helpless, you've got to accept it and be there for the person and try and, you can't do a lot. It's nothing. It's happened. You can't sort of stop it happening, but you can be there to help, and you can be there and try and understand what the other person is going through.
That's exactly right. And be in the now.
Yes.
Because that person needs you now, not tomorrow.
Yep.
And don't worry about the future, what holds for you. If it's a father that you're losing or a mother you're losing, the thing is, again, the semi truck could still wipe you in that patio before your father or mother passes away of cancer or whatever they're going through.
Exactly. Yep. I mean, I like many people. You know, I had people in my teens and in my early 20s, people I grew up with passed. I mean, this happens. But then on the other hand, my mother's 97 and still driving and still getting around and stuff like that. You know, it is what it is. You can't. Argue, you can't fight. You can only do what you can do. You can be there, you can help, you can understand, and if need be, you can forgive. And I think that's another big thing, being able to forgive people as well.
Correct. And the thing is that I have a motto that I use, and I call it in my book, it just is. You know, every situation is not a problem. There are no such things as problems. They're just situations, circumstances, or events. And yes, I am probably just changing the lingo or the language on that, but you've put it into a different perspective. It just is.
Right. What sort of response have you had from your book?
Well, it doesn't come out, though, until January.
Oh, so I wasn't sure. I had a feeling it was later on the year. Oh, cracky. Well, I'm sure. It's one of, as I said at the start, you know, reading about it and reading the sort of things that you share with people in this, it's going to be one of those books that really helps people. There is not a huge amount of books in this sort of thing that help people understand. But I think because... you know, through your own self and what you've managed to come, you know, to do, be through, come out the other side, sort of, as I said at the early on, the fact that you can understand people's situations is really going to help them. And I really think it's going to be a book that's going to, you know, help a lot of people.
I appreciate it, Barry. And that's what I'm after is to help a lot of people. And so I feel that, you know, it's taken me over 20 plus years of research, of trial and error, of what things I should work on. And if it failed, I tried other things. Mm. And then once I got the momentum and figured out things, it took me another 4 more years to write the book.
Right.
So I have a lot of hours and a lot of time spent into this book. And I really believe that it can help millions of people as well. Because we tend to just look at our physical world, and we have two worlds, a non-physical world, which is our soul, which is energy. Mm-hmm. And then we have a physical world, which 90-95% of the world looks at, on the outside world. Look at the outside instead of looking in the inside.
Exactly.
And you ever seen that triangle? It has the mind, body, and soul on it.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean, yes.
Yeah, it's a triangle. But a lot of people tend to work on their body and their mind, but they neglect the soul.
Yep.
And I think that's where so many people are missing the boat on. And it's not their fault. You know, they're just unaware. But I think if they start understanding responsibility, patience, love, compassion for themselves, and look inside themselves, then, you know, then they watch how their energy changes and things change for them as well, health-wise as well,
right.
Dramatically.
Indeed so. Well, it's been fascinating chatting to you and very enlightening, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners, you know, which we have like, 25, 30,000 worldwide to these shows, so I'm sure a lot of the people who've listened to you know, a lot of people are sort of nodding their heads or you're making them think as well, which is a very important part. What I'm going to do now, though, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where they can find out more about you and, of course, your book.
Well, the book comes on January 21st, and you can get it through Amazon. You can get in touch with my publicist, Meryl Moss, Meryl at MerylMossMedia.com. You know, if you want to get in touch with myself for any, you know, counseling or anything like that as well. Yes, that's basically how people are getting in touch with me right now. I do have a website. It's soulsetting.ca, and you perhaps can get in touch with me as well through there.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for being a guest. It has been really enjoyable, and I'm sure your book will help a lot of people. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Barry. I really appreciate the opportunity.
My pleasure. Well, there you go. How about that? Great stuff. I tell you, Levy, he is not just putting his heart on his sleeve. He is trying to help people get through what he's managed to get through, understand what other people are doing, and show them that there is a way out, that you can come out the other side, you can get through this stuff. Very, very interesting, and I'm sure a very good book. Well, that's it for this show. I'll be back on Sunday with my music shows. First of all, from 5 to 6 p.m., we have Those Are the Days, music from the 20th century, and always we have a theme, and the theme this week is Teddies and Dolls. think about music from with that sort of thing in mind for the 20th century. And then, of course, straight after that, from 6 to 7pm, we have the Swinging 60s, music from the 60s. And then next week, next Tuesday and Wednesday, I'll be back with another couple of guests to chat with on A Book and a Chat. So until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget.
Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning and in the afternoon or in the evening too. Cheers up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo. Tickety-boo, isn't that nice? All a cup of tea that makes you feel good twice. One lump or two, tickety-boo.
Hello everybody, and welcome to another Book and a Chat with me, Barry.
Get up in the morning, second thing you do, put on the kettle, make a little brew, that'll do you. Tickety-boo. See you, Jimmy, don't you agree? Only one thing better than a nice cup of tea, and that'll be two. Tickety-boo. Blow away the cobwebs and stop yawning. A little cup and sorcery is magic in the morning, or in the afternoon, or in the evening too. Cheer yourself up, pour yourself a cup, tickety-boo.